Welcome to this week's podcast with Ultimate Athlete Concepts. I'm Yosef Johnson, president of Ultimate Athlete Concepts, and today I'm joined by Jeff Moyer, who's helping us out from DC Sports with a lot of our podcasts and interviews. And today we have a really special guest, Dr. Vladimir Isserin. Dr. Isserin is one of the world's experts in programming and wrote the landmark text, Block Periodization, as well as Block Periodization 2. Dr. Isserin has a very long and broad experience and education in this area that's really on world-class level. So we feel very privileged today to have someone of his expertise to talk with us today and answer some questions about block periodization and his experience with it. So, Jeff, great to have you as always.
Thank you.
And Dr. Isserin, we feel very privileged to have you as well today. Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm ready for our talk.
Okay. So, Jeff, you take the lead. And I know that you have a lot of questions that you'd like to ask him. So just go ahead and fire away and take it from here.
Yes, sir. Well, Dr. Isserin, thank you so much for taking the time out. It's truly an honor and a privilege to have you here, sir. Just got some questions. I'd love to talk to you about block periodization and help clarify some of the misconceptions in the United States with your model and the practical use of it. So if you wouldn't mind, would you mind talking about what separates your model from Dr. Bondarchuk's and Dr. Yuri Verkhoshansky's?
In fact, we have very similar approach to block periodization with Dr. Bondarchuk and with world-recognized swimming expert Gennady Turetsky. And I have marked it with similarity in my book. And in fact, the system, block system, proposed by myself and Dr. Bondarchuk and Gennady Turetsky, were block systems for multi-targeted sports. And the difference between my approach and the approach of Bondarchuk is really very small. Bondarchuk, in his approach, was directed mostly for practical needs, but not for popularization of his system and in different sports. So, and what about Verkhoshansky? Verkhoshansky originally proposed his system for, and it was termed like unidirectional, highly concentrated training program. And his first experiences were mostly in jumping disciplines. And specificity of jumping disciplines that are not necessary to develop many targeted abilities. Just strength, explosive strength, and appropriate skills. So, and the first stage Verkhoshansky scheme was a stage with highly concentrated strength training, which produce a long-term delayed effect. And with a long-term effect should be realized, utilized, is the second and third stage when the athletes execute more specialized and less strained program and should succeed in their discipline. What about application of this approach for multi-targeted sports? It is not really possible. And now, when this system was published and republished in different countries, we have already a number of different studies where this approach was examined in team sports, in basketball, in soccer, and even in boxing. And each time, in each case, the athletes improved substantially in fitness. But what about specific effect in where discipline, in where basketball or in boxing, with results were not reported or were very modest. So the approach of Professor Verkhashansky suits for relatively small number of sports. But what about multi-targeted sports, like in track and field in Bondarchuk, like in swimming in Turetsky, like in my own experience? This is another approach in another block system, though it's termed also oblock system. Look, please, I appreciate experience and contribution of Professor Verkhashansky, but I should emphasize that our approaches are very different.
Great, yeah, no, that makes a lot more sense. Now, what are your requirements to classify as an athlete or for an athlete to be able to use your block model? Do you look at general strength, speed, if it's a track discipline or soccer? Or what types of requirements do you look for, doctor?
I suppose, and it is already supported by long-term experience, because the first publication on block periodization was in 85, and since then a lot of different studies have been realized in different countries. So first of all, block periodization is suitable for multi-targeted sports like endurance sports. Now we have a number of publications, number of studies in Norway with cyclists, with also with in team sports, in soccer in Spain, in tennis also in Spain, in different disciplines, in fact. Well, and the general particularity of this kind of studies that it is necessary to develop compatible abilities in one block, in accumulation block, and another set of compatible abilities in transmutation block. So such sports like team sports, like combat sports, like endurance sports, like power sports, are very suitable for application of block system. What about such sports like jumping disciplines, specifically like in examples of Yuri Verkhashansky? I don't know. And perhaps the system of Verkhashansky may be sometimes even better for jumpers. But what about throwers? So experience of Bondarchuk is excellent example of application of multi-targeted approach. So such sport like weightlifting, where it is not necessary to develop many abilities, just strength, and not necessary to develop many skills, just competitive skills, this is enough. So I'm not sure that weightlifting is suitable for application of block system. And as I know, the weightlifters continue to use traditional approach. Perhaps we are right.
Okay. Now, in your lecture in Michigan, you speak about the use of block periodization with junior-level athletes. Would you mind giving some specifics on how that model might differ from then compared to the use of block periodization with a high-level athlete?
As I said in Michigan and in all my other lectures, and it is written in my books, block periodization is proposed mostly, maybe even exclusively, for highly qualified, for high performance athletes. If the juniors athletes are in satisfy with criteria, and with junior athletes are already high performance, highly qualified athletes. The block system can be realized successfully also for juniors athletes. But what about low qualified and not so trained athletes? I suppose it is not necessary to use block system with highly concentrated workloads for the athletes who can succeed using traditional system with relatively low concentrated and mixed program. So, was this an answer?
Yes, sir. No, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, as far as, because in your interview that you did with Jay DeMayo for his website, for promoting your lecture that you did for him at the University of Richmond, you mentioned that it was for high-level athletes only. I was just curious, because in your lecture at Michigan, you talk about the use of block periodization for junior-level athletes, so I didn't know from a practical standpoint some of the differences.
Look, Jeff, this is one more remark. Because I have extensive experience in the lecturing for different audiences of coaches. Once upon a time, I conducted my lecture for sailing, coaches from sailing. And one of the young coaches said me that 1 year ago, he was on my similar lecture also for sailors, and started to use block periodization for junior athletes a little bit low level, and succeeded very much. And I responded that perhaps with this excessive program for such kind of low level athletes, but another point that a young and ambitious coach is ready and intends to support his position and to get success. In this case, I suppose the block system can be used in the earlier stages of long-term preparation. But generally speaking, junior athletes of relatively low level should use traditional program until we reach appropriate level for application of block system.
Okay. Now, do you see that your block model can successfully be used with Olympic weightlifting or powerlifting?
Well, as I said previously, I'm not sure that block system is suitable for weightlifting. I don't know. And it seems to me, as far as I'm familiar with this sport, we use relatively small repertory of exercises. It is not necessary to develop endurance and even strength, endurance, aerobic abilities, and so on. Just strength, maximal strength, explosive strength, that's all. Perhaps a block system for weightlifters can be used, but it should be very creatively modified. Another point, powerlifting. During my experiences in my book and so on, I was oriented first of all on the sports where I have experience as as advisor and consultant and so on. But powerlifting, I had very low familiarity with powerlifting, and was very surprised how many publications I did find in the internet relating to application of block system in powerlifting. And for instance, excellent publication, to my opinion, was done by Gabriel Nespinski, and with paper was even translated to Russian. And another example is this publication of James Smith. This publication mostly for bodybuilders regarding to developing of maximal strength and muscle mass. And Black System was very successfully applied to these purposes. And I can send my congratulations to James, because to my opinion, it was very creative and very successful approach. Well, continue.
Yes, sir. Now, if you don't mind, how do you define or classify specialized exercises, and does that differ from Dr. Bondarchuk and Dr. Verkhoshansky's definitions?
I don't think that we have really controversial with Bondarchuk regarding to the definition of specialized special exercises, but and even with Verkhoshansky as well. Because block periodization is intended to develop appropriate abilities specific for certain sport, even accumulation mesocycle, where the targeted abilities are exclusively basic abilities, but exercises should be selected according to specificity of this sport. So, for instance, just to develop aerobic endurance for swimmers, the exercises should be swimming. In canoeing, just canoeing. In rowing, with exercises, long-term, long aerobic exercises in rowing. And what about strength exercises? Because additional target in accumulation mesocycle, with this maximal strength and anabolic effect of exercises. But selection of exercises should be appropriate to topography of the muscles in certain sports. This is not each exercise for rowers and for canoers. These are exercises which are directed to appropriate muscle groups and in appropriate regime, just to develop muscle mass of appropriate hypertrophy of appropriate muscles and so on. And what about transmutation mesocycle? It is very clear that highly specialized exercises should be used, and of course, first of all, exercises from this certain sport. So preparation of high-performance athletes is generally, in fact, with this highly specialized preparation. So all exercises using in the program of high-performance athletes should be more or less specialized. Of course, in accumulation mesocycle less, in transmutation mesocycle more.
Yes, sir. Now, you and Dr. Bondarchuk, in his special preparatory exercise category, both spoke of these exercises mimicking physiological systems. Now, is this more, are you speaking specifically on specific energy systems?
Not only. Of course. Developing of appropriate energy system is first of all cornerstone in the compilation program for accumulation mesocycle, also for transmutation and for aerization. But neuromuscular factors, even hormonal adaptations, should be also taken into account. And this is one of the privilege of the block system, that it allows to join all these demands in appropriate program in a certain mesocycle, neuromuscular, metabolic, and hormonal in optimal combination.
Okay. Now, transitioning between each block, do you just stop the use of a particular training means, or do you kind of slowly dovetail and transition it into the new training stimulus, the new exercises?
The answer is very simple. fast transition is absolutely necessary. Let's imagine we finish some training stage with competition. Now, of course, 1-2 days for restoration, and next day we start next stage with accumulation with the side. So we start immediately to perform exercises for accumulation with the cycle, and very frequently our time course is very short. So we work, for instance, 20 days for accumulation with the cycle, developing basic abilities, and next day, just Monday, we start very contrast program with highly intensive exercises of transmutation with the cycle. So transition should be fast.
Okay. Makes a lot of sense. Now, in your books, you do a great job of explaining the different types of training effects and the duration of specific motor abilities for high-level athletes. Do you happen to know of any studies that have been done on the junior and younger athletes that deal with the duration of different training effects and the length of their motor abilities, or is it just high-level athletes that have been studied?
No, frankly speaking, I don't know any studies where training effects like delayed effect or like residual effect and so on were compared between adult and junior athletes. But I have prolonged experience, and I know many experiences of, in different sports and different coaches, and we following common sound and our knowledge, we know already that junior athletes improve faster and detrain faster. And following with statement, we can adapt the block system for highly qualified junior athletes, taking into account relatively shorter residual effect after developing program. I suppose in my new book I will describe this phenomenon more accurately.
Oh, okay, great. Now, what is the role of technique during your model block periodization, specifically during each block?
The answer is also very simple. Technique is very high priority for each block. But realization of technical demands and technical repertory is different. For instance, learning of new skills and perfection and even improvement and deletion of some drawbacks is more suitable for accumulation mesocycle, where the level of intensity is relatively low and the athletes perform high volume exercises. So some part of these high volume exercises, it can be technical exercises for learning, for improvement of different drawbacks and so on. But what about accumulation mesocycle, where the concentration of highly intensive exercises is very high and the athletes are permanently fatigued? So demands can be fatigue tolerance and technique stabilization. So the state and the physiological conditions of the athletes are absolutely suitable for such kind of targets, for such kind of tasks. And another point, realization with the cycle, where the athletes are oriented for forthcoming competition, so tactical modeling and the technical details and final consolidation with the primary tasks for technical work in a realization business cycle.
Okay. Now, this is more of a personal question, but if you don't mind, am I correct to say that you had worked under Dr. Zatziorski?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Yes.
And I was curious, too, what kind of effect has he had on your own work and, you know, in the current work that you are doing?
Oh, his influence cannot be underestimated. Dr. Zatziorski was my mentor and my long life friend. And I am very proud that he is my friend and my teacher. To my opinion, is an excellent, absolutely excellent, great priority, a great personality, an open mind, very creative, very honest. And his influence is very on my creation, on all my life is very high.
Interesting. Do you still happen to do you ever come and visit him at the Penn State or Pennsylvania, where he's at now?
Unfortunately, I did not get this opportunity, but we have a number of meetings since I started my this stage of my life in Israel. So we have more or less systematic communications using internet, using mailing, and so on. So so I hope that our cooperation will continue.
Great. Well, that's Doc. That's all the questions that I have for you today. Thank you so much for taking the time out to speak with me and clarifying a lot of questions that I know myself and other coaches in the United States have had with some of your work. And Yosef, I was curious to if you have anything else you'd like to add.
No, that was great, and I think Dr. Isserin, if you don't mind, we'd like to do this again maybe in the next few months to follow
okay,
up.
Okay.
Great information.
So something wrong?
I'm sorry.
Hello, Dr. Isserin.
Okay, Yosef, it is very nice for your contribution in our in our talk. Well, so I will be very pleased to continue our program. But another point that I suppose I can do it much better if you will invite me once upon a time and one sunny day to Grand Rapids. So we will organize our...
We are working on that as we speak. We'd like to have you next year. We're hoping to... next year in the spring, we're hoping to have you to come speak here, hopefully maybe in Virginia, to our next conference. So we're excited about that, and we'd like to talk to you again about some of the work that you're doing. And I know that you're working on a new book and kind of talk about some of the what's going into that and those new concepts. So we look forward to more interaction over this next year. And learning more about what you're doing and some of the new concepts and having you in the U.S. Everybody's excited. I've had a number of people ask about when you're going to be here. So we're hoping to have that done next year.
It's very great. Great idea. I suppose next year I will be ready with my new book. And it is a really great idea to visit Virginia. I can remind that I still smoke.
That's perfectly okay.
I know Virginia is the most suitable place for smokers.
right. You know, now I got to tell you, Dr. Vladimir, I still have your lighter.
Okay. Well, so and okay. Well, let's continue our program. Well,
yeah.
Ready?
We'll get back together in the next month or so, and we'll look forward to talking to you then. But thank you very much for taking the time out to talk to us today.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.